Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Oh, yes, it is. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. Callers already on the air. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and we've got our co-hosts, co-pilots in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room coming on as well. Welcome to all listening via iTunes and also the archives, and of course, hello everyone listening live via CosmicDimensions.com. Hope everyone's having a great week so far. We're midweek. The hump week, Wednesday hump week, and a lot to cover, and I definitely want to get to readings. As you know, we have readings from 12 to 12:45 p.m. All you need to do is call in, and the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad to get in queue to get on air. We still are doing our where and how do you listen to Awakenings, and all you need to do is email awakenings@selfandlight.com and let us know where and how you listen to Awakenings, and that will we send you a nice little, just a little appreciation gift for that. Also, come visit us on our Facebook page, which is my name, Michelle Mache, so facebook.com. Of course, some of you already have been connecting there, and then Michelle Mache, and that acts as the Facebook page for Awakenings Radio. And so, let us know how you're doing. I'd love to get some feedback as to how everyone is dealing with the push pull of energies that have been going on. From a lot of people have been saying feeling really, energetic, new ideas, a lot of people feel, and then going inward, feeling the need to really retreat and go within, and that it's one or the other. And I'm attributing it to, obviously, it is the new energy, the new emerging consciousness. Astrologically, it's that balance of that Saturn, Uranian energy, Uranus energy, where there's just a lot of spurts of energy and then back within. You know, of course, Uranus is that lightning bolt energy. So, and then Saturn, of course, is the step-by-step, the plotting kind of structure and planning. So we're really having to, acclimate is the best way to put it, to the energy pattern. It's very different. We were very much under the Saturnian and all is good. You just have to reinterpret how we're going to manage this energy. So let me know what you're doing. I've also written on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, which when it comes out, which is usually weekly, but sometimes every 2 weeks, depending how much other stuff I have going on in writing. It also will always be on my Facebook page and also Facebook profile. But I did do a blog post. Two posts ago, of the physical signs and symptoms of awakening, ascension, and the shift. And many people don't realize that it's all one. There's not like three separate things that are going on, strategically, if you will. It's that there's different aspects of the great transition. And awakening is a part of them. Soul alignment is a part of it. The ascension is a part of it. These are all different areas that are affected, similar to the financial realm or economy, how we manage our energy. Well, that's what economy means. So we're learning to manage our energy, ourself as a resource, and our external resources, or what seems to be external resources. So it's all really about managing energy. And there's different layers and different levels to this and different focuses. Depending to some degree what soul ray you come in will determine, you know, are you more interested in justice or is it literal justice like justice system? Is it personal justice? Is it teaching? Is it healing? Is it speaking? You know, is it transforming institutions? Is it working within an institution or outside institution coming in? Is it starting your own institution or your own ideas? Your own, is it, are you an inventor, an innovator? So I also go into this a lot on my daily OM course, 2012, Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift, and it's really beyond 2012. But there, you know, and I just want to let people know that there are these resources, these tools. I really get into really explaining what the new energy is. What is the new emerging consciousness? How to navigate it? How to manage it? What is the soul alignment? What is the particular mode of energy that expression that different individuals come in with? Are you initiator? Are you a generator? Are you a bridger? Are you a manifester? Are you a combination? Anyway, that lets you know. Okay, we are going to be getting to phone lines, so please hold on. Those of you that have been graciously waiting online, I'm going to get to readings and really want to dive in. Again, the number for readings, 347-539-5122. And those of you that are waiting in the queue, please press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you would like to get on air. However, I do want to answer a question that was emailed in, and we've got quite a few of them. This one's a little bit of a longer one, so some of you that have emailed questions to me at awakenings@selfandlight.com, I'll be getting to those, but this one I wanted to get to today. And also, those of you that are, you know, in the chat, I'd love to know your thoughts on this question as well, and those of you online as well. This came in from Rachel, and it's a really, really good one. So bear with me and listen here. Rachel is asking, she has a general question. She says, I've noticed lately that the people in my life are talking about what level they are on. For example, don't try to rise up to my level, or those people are not at my level. They mean level of consciousness, and I'm sure you've heard this before. I am also in a coaching group where people are instructed based on their energetic levels of training. So people who are mostly trained in the third energy realm would be instructed based on the solar plexus aligned practices. The instructor and group members refer to each other by that, like, oh, you're a seventh energy center, right? Is this just that people are noticing their own consciousness develop within themselves and now more aware of where other people are as well? I know what it feels like to assume that someone is beneath you, but I also know that people are specialized in many different ways and no one is the same. Is talking about people's levels in a condescending way just another aspect of separation? I'm feeling that I'm observing this and not projecting, but I keep probing to make sure that's true. Oh, beautiful question, and so, oh my God, you know, you find, I'll just tell you, you find this question or focus in all kinds of things, and especially, you know, I've studied psychology, transpersonal psychology, theology, so many different, it's everywhere. And it doesn't matter, healers and Reiki, you know, levels and energetic levels. First of all, I want to just say consciousness should be seamless. Now, in saying that, yes, there are different levels. Some people do know more, more connected or more in tune. However, that doesn't mean that, you know, I would say the more aware you are, the more expanded, the more advanced you are, the more you actually would be able to be around or deal with, if you will, with many, many different types of people or that are maybe on maybe emotionally a different level than you or, you know, intuitively. The idea of dealing that people come, yes, some people do emphasize different chakras. there are definitely people that are more, you know, sixth chakra based, more, you know, intellectually based. There, everyone on the planet, though, now, whether they want to realize it or not on this dimension, because this is about the emotional astral body, it is about working with that particular type of energy. Many people are more polarized in that area, but a lot of people are polarized third chakra and projecting it out. Like they think they're not emotional or over-emotional, and they actually are. Because the third chakra, it's not only the empowerment center, the hottest center, it is the center of the inner child. It's also the center of gut knowing. But it's hard to know your gut knowing when you're wounded on a, you know, emotional level. The third chakra is everyone on this planet has that aspect. Some people more than others. Some people it becomes the shadow where they don't real, it's they're cut off from it. So they're drawing experiences to them where it seems like other people are more emotionally based. Because the third chakra, it's a very important chakra. It is our personality. It is the center of our personality. It is the chakra that represents our individualized manifestation of God or the all that is. That's why when someone says something to you that's kind of mean, you know, or a sarcastic comment, you always feel it in the gut. You might feel nauseous or something's off, or you feel like an arrow was thrown at you, right? Like, oh, that hurt, you know. So it's a complicated kind of, it's a great question. What I can tell you is the constructed ego loves levels and labels and loves the one-upmanship. And there's a lot of, you know, institutions, books, spiritual centers, supposed churches that are based on that. And actually conventional and non-so-conventional churches or religious systems. It is one way that we learn. We do need to take things at some point step by step, and there are different, you know, advanced levels. We do have a basic level. You know, even basic psychology or dealing with, you know, interpersonal issues or family of origin or, you know, inner child issues. However, I find it's really circular. I mean, you start somewhere, but you can go do a lot of healing and then bump into a certain issue that you did, that you worked on 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. The difference is, I think what people need to think of in consciousness is that it's more of a spiral, that you might hit a similar issue or the same issue, but in a different way. You have more awareness. And so what's interesting, levels of consciousness. See, consciousness is beyond awareness. It's beyond the mind. It's beyond awareness. Consciousness is it's substantive. It's the substance. It is of the substance, yet it's the substance. It's what's creating, but it's also what's created. So I would say rather than people being at different levels, it's what they're opening to allow to come out through. I'm not really wild about perhaps addressing, and please let me know if you have any ideas in the chat about this. To address people at those different levels, I don't know. For me, my opinion, not a great idea, especially within a group setting. You know, I do a lot of group work, and for many years, and group teaching and teaching at formal institutions and my own personal groups. And I just find it does create separation, but it also creates a one-upmanship. Now, individually working with people, there can be at different, you know, levels. But I think when you're bringing the group in, it's a good idea. People know. You know when somebody is further along than you. You know when someone maybe has more awareness or more experience. We also know when someone maybe has more experience but are not as aware, or we know their blind spots. We can see, you know, hopefully we learn to see our own blind spots. So it does get a bit tricky because, yes, there are different levels, but then at some point you can also get the viewpoint that there are no levels. I mean, levels are still playing out in the polarity consciousness, which we do have that. There are levels. I mean, these kinds of questions, I always think, think of your 11-year-old child wanting to drive, even though they've seen you drive. You may know they're not yet at the level of maturity to drive, emotional maturity, maybe even physically. Maybe even physically they're too small, you know, or they're too short or something. Or they don't have the experience, they don't have the training, the age. I mean, but you're not going to throw all that at them, right? You're not going to tell, you know, you're not going to keep reminding or talk down to them about it, because it's kind of obvious. Even if they say, I know how to drive, or I drove, so-and-so let me drive, you know, grandpa let me drive, you know, or at the farm, grandpa let me drive. But I think, you know, the greatest teachers that I have had that have seen where I'm at, even if I thought I was further along, they recognize the place in me that is totally aware, totally enlightened, is beyond the layers and levels. They recognize that within me, connected to me in that way, and then took an account on a very, on a humanistic level, where am I at? And I think this is a good teacher would do that. Or us as teachers, you know, as healers, as advanced light workers, we need to do that with, you know, friends and family and other colleagues or people that we're studying with or that we're teaching. You need to, right? We need to connect or see them in the non-separate, the perfected form, because that is real too. That is there as well. And then maybe emotionally, developmentally, they may be at a certain level of not as much awareness or having challenges that denote a certain level of awareness. So it's not so much consciousness. There's a lot of consciousness. People can have a lot of consciousness, but that consciousness not filtering into their 3D, 4D, 5D experience, their human, divine human experience. That's why a lot of times you can meet somebody and that you feel a really strong connection to, a soul connection, especially in dating relationships. But there's a soul connection, there's a heart connection, there is a oneness, there's a deep understanding or a deep spiritual connection, a kinship. That is very real. However, on the day-to-day, maybe you have a great connection as an artist, but spiritually there's not as much connection or awareness or openness, or maybe it's philosophically, or maybe it's emotionally. I've met a lot of people that are very spiritually aware, and whether they've done a lot of training or just naturally or even intuitive or very psychic, but emotionally their development is stunted, or there's a lot of anger that they haven't, you know, healed and worked through and harnessed and channeled. So yes, I would say for purposes of studying, and on this dimension, again, we're talking about a polarity. So on some level, yes, there are layers and levels. There are veils. And then on another level, it's all one. There is that oneness, and there is no layer level. It's all right there, right now. So not hanging at either end of the spectrum, knowing that in this play of consciousness, we're experiencing both ends of that polarity. I hope I answered that more, and I'll talk a little bit more. Denise, ooh, I love that. I prefer the term vibration rather than levels. I keep thinking levels can be fallen off. Ooh, I like that, Denise, in the chat. Thanks. And Marla Kay, you're welcome. Keeping it real. Well, yeah, but vibration, you know, it is that. I mean, kind of in that there are aspects of that on that we are playing out, because vibrationally, certain vibrations are seen more as more inclusive, which might be more expanded on what we call more as a higher level. And I think, you know, as this new emerging consciousness that we're all co-creating is being more anchored within us, our languaging is having to change. It's not going to be one word describing something. And it's going to be more from a feeling or sensing tone as well, and maybe a paragraph of words to describe something. Because there are so many different ways to look at something or experience it as well. And really, you're right, it is about vibration, but it's also about what is allowed to come through. When we have a lot of trauma or we have a very strong constructed ego, it doesn't allow a lot of consciousness, love, light, and wisdom to come through. It doesn't allow the inclusivity to come through, or it doesn't allow for a lot of awareness. It's a tighter space. And also, one thing I want to share, and then we're going to get to the callers, is that we have to also remember that, and I remind myself of this as well, we're using a model of that always up or more expanded is lighter or bigger or better, or the lighter color is better, or going up is better. And that's partly because we're dealing with gravity here, and down it seems to be denser, you know. And some of that is true, but it's also there is also within. So I think sometimes we have to think in our head, okay, even though I'm saying up or I'm expanding, I'm ascending, that means I'm going up. Yes, in our terms here, on this plane, on this dimension, but it's also I'm going down deeper, or I'm going within. And that's why that universal principle, that universal law is as above is so below, as within, as without. So that it's really all the same. But again, the context that we're all coming from is the idea of gravity, you know, and what's up and lighter, and, you know, we're coming from that model, but yet recreating it. So thank you, Rachel, for emailing me this great question, and gets us going. And let me know, those of you listening now in the Sacred Space of Empowerment, the chat room, online, let me know your thoughts. Okay, we're getting in callers. All right. Hello, welcome, 321-420. Welcome to Awakenings.
Yes, how are you doing?
Great. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a question.
Okay, and also, could I have your first name, please?
Yes, my first name is Vinny.
Pardon me?
Vinny.
Vinny. Hi, Vinny. What's your question?
I was just wondering if you might see any blockages for me, like any blockages that may be,
Blockages in what way? Like emotional blockages, chakra?
In any avenue, all of them.
Let's see. Well, it's interesting that I mentioned third chakra. I feel for you, you are getting, third and second, actually. And if you take the third and the second, you get to the fifth, which is telling me you're needing to, healing your ability to reproduce yourself, which is the second chakra. And a lot of people think it's reproduction by sex or having kids. It can be that, but it's also your creations in life. You know, like if you paint a picture or the work that you do is, in a sense, reproducing yourself or extending yourself out into the world. Those are the areas I feel you need to work at. And the third chakra is in believing in yourself, of believing that exactly how you are is perfect, that your divine essence, that complex of vibrational frequencies that you are called Vinny on this dimension is needed at this time. So I really want you to focus on that second, like your creative, what can you put out there in the world? What can you share? Even if it's just at a regular job right now, what are you putting out there is needed and necessary? You're putting, you know, the way you do what you do, the way you say hi to someone, or the way that you help someone, or answer that phone, or help at work, whatever you're doing is putting yourself out there more. And then also I want you, the fifth chakra, that will be the third, that's what you're going to be integrating more, is listening to your own inner knowing and voicing your opinion, voicing your thoughts more. But you've got to work a bit more on the second and third, and then as you're working more on the second and third chakra, the fifth will begin to more prominently integrate it, where you're speaking up, speaking your mind more, listening to your own inner knowing. Does that make sense for you? Hello, Vinny? Okay, I think we lost
Vinny. I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Did you hear what I said? Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And keep me posted. Also, I'd really love, let us know how you're doing by going to our Awakenings Radio Facebook page. And keep me posted as how you're doing, how you're, how this unfolding is happening for you, okay?
All right, I definitely will.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Blessings. Hello, 803-231, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, to whom am I speaking with?
You're talking to Blair.
Hi, Blair, how are you?
Hey, I'm okay.
Hey, good.
Okay,
and
so
what's your question?
All right, so there's this guy that I like, and we had a very emotional summer, a lot of lessons learned in that regard, but I guess we're slowly but surely trying to get back on the same page, but I'm still wondering if there's even a possibility of us, like, coming back together. He's in New York, and I'm in Philly, so that's another thing.
Yeah, but I do see you going to be, that you will be more in New York. Let's see. Well, he definitely, it's saying go with the flow with him. Don't try to make anything too structured right now is what it's saying. Have fun. See him. Hang out. Do whatever. Go kind of back and forth. It feels like he could be, is he starting to turn around? It could be that he's starting to strongly pursue you. Do you feel that? Is he calling a lot or texting?
He's not. It's like I've been the one that had to initiate that.
But
he has been responding
okay,
more. Yeah.
Yeah, more. Okay. Let's see. Well, let me ask. What's the customer's English? Because it's showing things heat up again. But I know, I'll be honest. I mean, this is a little old school, but we got to remember the templates we come out of. You know, you heard my talk earlier in answering that question about gravity. Well, we all do generally still come out of these models of relating. They're being updated. But I think it goes with anybody. If you're having to over-initiate, even if it's a best friend, a guy friend or a girlfriend, a work associate, if you're having to be the one, if there's not that easy reciprocation that they're also calling and extending out, I always say don't cut off, but take a breath. Breathe in. As you breathe out, allow more space, and then do what you need to do. It's definitely saying to keep it. It's definitely saying, okay, when I ask what's the best perspective you should take, I get a little bit of caution or reserve. So I would say, as you're extending out or initiating, or you guys are doing stuff, but on your initiation, like, hey, I'm in town, want to get together, then just leave it. Don't you be the one that's always initiating.
Okay.
I feel him more, I don't know, I feel him more dating. He's not yet ready for a stronger commitment. Now, I do see you more in the New York area, Blair. So it could, let's see, well, ultimately what's going to come up. Do you want to say his first name? Because he probably doesn't
Mecca.
Listen to the show, does he? Mecca, okay. Kind of relationship. Well, it definitely does show a nice dating. Have you started talking more?
Yeah, we talk more. Definitely more than a few months ago.
Yeah. Because it does show more philosophical talking. But boy, he does have a side where he kind of just, I don't know, disappears. Cuts off, tunes out. I'm not sure. He just disappears. What's that about?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's interesting.
It's almost like he's very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, I don't know, Blair. I like him as a what I call a transitional or an opener. Gets you kind of open and going. Gets your juices flowing. But I think he's got a little emotional hang up where he wants to be in control, and one way he does it is just by disappearing. You know, or it could be with girls, but it also could be just with buddies or even on his own. Like, I'm not picking up the phone. He's got a fear of being emotionally in his mind, vulnerable or getting hurt or being too open.
See, I think that's due to his ex-girlfriend and, you know, his past experiences with bad relationships. That's something he needs to
but
work
it always,
on.
Yeah, it always goes further, though. It goes back to the family of origin. And especially,
true.
I hate to say it, mother, son kind of thing. So, but just be aware of that, because I can see it in the past with him, and I can see it like it's fine when you, but there is a little gamey side, a little nasty side in there. Because it's fine when you don't want to pick up the phone because you're busy or you're tired and you're going to get back. But there's a part of him like, you know, I've reached out enough, or if somebody is very, like if you were dating him and you were getting very popular, or let's say getting very busy with something, I could see where he would be a little jealous. And almost to this, I don't know if jealous is the right word, but it's almost like now maybe she's going to leave me. She's getting busy or popular, or her career is taking off. She doesn't need me as much. So there is a little, you're right, there's a little inner child, little baby thing that needs to be healed there with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he heals it, it'll be okay. If he doesn't, because I've seen that, somebody, if you don't heal that, it doesn't go, it's not something that goes away, you know?
Right.
But have fun with it. I mean, he definitely has a nice heart, you know, a lot of passion. You know, he's very charismatic, very magnetic, energy. But there is that thing about that, you know, disappearing mode there.
So just go with the flow for now then?
Go with the flow and just see it as a just like a dating situation, you know, that you're just dating, you know, not that you, you know, don't try to make it something like a consistent dating relationship or this is my boyfriend now. Just keep it on the dating level, the lighter dating level.
Okay.
I know that's hard to do, but otherwise you're gonna get hurt when he's pulling back.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get hurt. So
when he disappears. Well, you already did start to, I feel.
Well, yeah,
right?
And then I did a little bit, yes.
Yeah. So that's your cue that this is what's going on. That's your message that, okay, that's your yellow flag or red flag. If it gets stronger, it's a red flag. Right now it's a yellow flag. It's saying caution, not a green light. Don't zoom in.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware. Trust your inner knowing. Trust the gut. What's the gut saying? Is it getting nauseous or queasy? You know, then
right.
Something's being, you know, amiss there. Okay? Keep us posted. All right. Good to talk to you, Bliss.
Right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Welcome. Hello, Denise.
Hi.
Welcome to Awakening.
Thank you.
Hi. Great to
hi.
Talk.
Hi. Oh, it's so good to talk to you.
You too. You as well.
My question, well, I wanted to first say that finally, after 2.5 years, my artist block is finally over. And your course really helped a lot. And so now I've been doing little workshops from my home studio, and I'm just wondering, should I be looking to do some outside of my home? Because I feel quite vulnerable in the role of teacher.
Well, if you don't do it in the next couple of months, I definitely do feel that February, March time, you'll be more open to extend out. I do feel stuff really, the home stuff seems to be going really, really well, though, right? That's really picking up.
It sort of is, yes. It's been quite good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would keep that, let's see. I would keep that going is what I'm hearing, Denise, right now.
Okay.
And get that, but see, then it's showing December. I do feel you're going to extend out. It is showing more perhaps December, January. You're going to start looking into it. And I do feel a colleague or a helper, a partner, has that come in yet?
Not really. I'm meeting someone today. I'm meeting someone today. Ah. But, wow, she's been a bit of a steamroller as far as the vibration. And so I'm actually going to really have to tune in and see, do I want to work with her?
I don't know that it's her. Don't do the steamroller. Here's the thing. What we've learned, what we've been learning for the last year and a half is a balance of what we need or what's right for us, you know, as opposed to, you know, other people, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. You know, like how do other people fit into, in a sense, to what we're doing.
Okay.
So there's been this awareness and relationship of balance or what we need. And also what we've been learning is something of resonance. Is it a match or not? That's what I've been saying, not to get into story about things. I mean, I think you need to get into story on our own or if you're working with a coach or a guide or ourselves, like, oh, I'm triggered here. They did this or they're doing that or this is happening. But mm-hmm. with the person, instead of trying to change them to fit our needs. I mean, we could suggest things, or like I work with people, I can suggest something, or could you do this, or what do you think of this? But if it's too difficult, or the energy right off the bat isn't matching, isn't cohesive, isn't aligning or harmonious, there's more dissonance than coherence, it's saying that's not a match, at least. You know, you can even say for not right now, you know, it's not a match, it's not lining up, it's not a resonance. Because as we've got Saturn went into Scorpio, the overtone of that energy is people seeking deeper, meaningful relationships. So we're learning what's not fitting, what's not a match, what's not working. We're learning that, oh, steamroller, I don't really like this energy, or this is challenging, or I can have it in this amount, but not that amount. I mean, that's with everything. I think specifically with people, but also I've been finding it with foods or experiences or activities. Now it's about, Denise, consciously going out and feeling out and seeking out and putting together our own team, our own support system, our own friend team or network that is more in alignment, that's more in coherence with us, that's more in resonance. So we're really getting that push right now to seek what's more deeper meaning, what's more fulfilling for ourselves and for others. So those connections that you have, aha, it just works. You know, that person gets you and you get that. And then you can really play, right? Then you can really extend out and play.
Well, then you feel safe for a start, don't you then?
What?
You feel safe then in those relationships as well to be yourself. The ones that are resonant.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Because if you're in self-protection mode, it's hardly conducive to creativity.
Yeah. Well, all right. You know, what's interesting is that we used to be taught to do this, you know, it was really the fitting the square peg in the round hole, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's like, and it was like if you toughed it out, you know, that's good. Tough it out.
Absolutely. And that's why now this new way, it's still so fantastic to think that this is really true. This can be good. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
We can have it all.
Nice. Exactly. It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. It's a whole other way. I mean, but in a way, I mean, we were learning a lot from you know, extreme polarity. And we were really learning a lot about separating out. We were learning so much about differences and what doesn't work or what isn't right, and let me fix it. And now it's like a complete shift of like learning what is right and what's simple, what's easy, what's grace and ease, what's not separating out, what brings more, you know, connectedness. But I do, getting back to you as well, you're right on track with what you need, what the focus is, the art. But it is saying some, you know what I'm getting? Something in the community.
Wow, okay.
It's about extending out into your community.
Okay.
Does that make sense at all?
Well, it doesn't seem to have come yet, although this would be like a workshop of 10 to 12 people, I guess, in the community. It's not in my home. And so that's a big leap. And I've been really tentative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's coming.
Okay.
That extension. And it could even be your own, you know, part of the your soul group. It could be the community, I don't know, the artists. It could be that as well.
Okay.
Now they are telling me that it is the, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
They are saying it is also going to be, it is also going to be your actual community.
Okay. All right.
So you are branching out there then.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you, Michelle. Blessings to you too.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great to speak with you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go back to
another caller. Okay. And we'll get also to the questions in the chat. Hi, 954-205, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Darlene.
Hi.
Hi,
Darlene.
Hi. And I'd like to see if you see any romance coming into my life.
Okay. Wait. Darlene, right?
Yes.
Now, the first thing I got around you was dancing. Do you dance?
I like to dance.
Do you dance? Yes. Okay, because it's saying to dance. Go to some events. If you haven't or you just started doing it, I definitely feel you're going to... you're going to meet somebody there that also likes to go out, like dinner, dancing, a movie, kind of a real strong, I call it the companionship energy, you know, where you call each, oh, I'd love to see this or this movie or this play. But you, I don't know if it's a church, community, or dance studio, but I see it something more formalized where there are people that are dancing. And they're telling me that go there. That man, that connection is there. So it's going to require you getting out of the house and going and doing something, okay, to making uh-huh. Putting yourself available. But the key is the dancing. So maybe it's in a dancing event, dancing lessons, you know, a church, spiritual center, if they're having a dance, if there's some event that you want to go to, just go. But that's what
and
you
how,
need to integrate into your life.
Do you have a time limit on this?
I feel relatively soon. I feel there's something around the holidays, maybe end of November, December. There seems to be an opening there. I feel it's very festive. I definitely feel winter months. I feel there's a lot of lights around as well, decorations. I definitely feel it's before the summer months or the spring. I feel more crisper weather.
Uh-huh.
Where you live, does it get, there could be a big mall or something around. It could be something where there's definitely food also around. Does it get chilly where you're at all? Do you get it chilly weather?
Once in a while in December, it might get a little chilly.
Okay. Because I'm definitely feeling, I'm not seeing, you know, I'm definitely feeling like it's a crisper weather. Maybe wind, kind of clear. I can see you going, so you will find it, but that's your key, dancing, extending out and going dancing.
Okay.
All
great.
Right.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Darlene. You're welcome. All right, so we have time for one more question before we get our guest calls. Let's see. Sheila E. in the chat is saying, you've mentioned that we are all becoming more and more psychic, but I feel like I used to be more open a few years ago and not so much. Can you tell me what's going on with that? I feel blocked. Well, it depends how you mean that, Sheila, and what circumstance. I mean, sometimes I feel we're more open to our guidance. Sometimes we're working on trust and faith. So we may not feel we're getting the guidance that we need. Sometimes we are getting the guidance, Please refresh if you're feeling no sound. Sometimes we are getting the guidance. However, we're not understanding it. It could be something new that we're learning, or we're learning in a way to get our guidance differently, I guess is another way to put it. So it could be that as well. Let me see. What could it? I'm not getting, I think, with you. I feel sometimes also when we're working on something emotionally, sometimes our emotional state, or we're triggered or challenged, or we're doing some deeper healing, it can be just to be with that, and then eventually we'll be integrating that in, you know, maybe use of the body, or we're healing or reclaiming our awareness to be able to be more in tune or psychic through the body, trusting that inner knowing through the body, or that gut knowing or gut feeling, especially if we've been very heady. Maybe we've been getting a lot of flashes of insight, or, you know, or words or phrases, or maybe we've been seeing things, you know, visions, or, you know, noticing that sign on the road or the billboard, et cetera, et cetera. So you could be also integrating another way. I always say in these cases, journaling is always great, what you're feeling, what you're going through, and then even requesting from the higher self, you know, I need a sign right now in the old way, just to help me through this little patch, you know. But yeah, sometimes we're learning, you know, it's like cross-training. It's cross-training on the spiritual path. You know, any of you that ever have done anything, you know, athletic, you know, or even as a dance or anything, sometimes you're working on the bar, sometimes you're working in the middle, you're learning a routine. Sometimes there's more time on that. You know, if you're a runner, sometimes you're having to do weights. Sometimes if you're doing too much weights, you have to do Pilates, or you're integrating yoga, or maybe they're saying just go for a walk or rest. There's a time to rest in between training or even just working out. So the recovery days are called. So, you know, we do change. We do morph a bit in our self-development and spiritual integration. It's not always just, you know, one way or one focus. I hope that helps a bit. All right. So we do have our guest today on. Very intrigued and look forward to connecting with Richard Moss. And Richard Moss, MD, is an internationally respected leader in the field of conscious living and inner transformation. He's the author of 6 seminal books on using the power of awareness to realize our intrinsic wholeness and reclaim the wisdom of our true selves. He's also the author of his latest book is Inside Out Healing. And he also will be at the I Can Do It in Pasadena. So those of you that are listening locally, or you can fly in for it. It's a wonderful convention and a place of a lot of insight and information. Welcome to the program, Richard. Hello? Oh, we just had Richard, and I don't know what happened. Okay, well... until Richard comes back on. I just saw him on air, a 917 number, 597. Hello, Richard. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I could hear you the whole last 6 or 7 minutes.
Oh,
can you hear me?
God, you could. Yes, I can. Yes, perfect.
Okay, good.
How are you doing? And you live in Ojai, one of my favorite places, by the way. I just love it there.
Yeah, where
Such
are you?
Wonderful energy. I'm in the Marina, so I'm
okay.
In California as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, I actually moved from Ojai in early July, and now I'm in a gorgeous part of Colorado, about half an hour from Aspen. But I had been in Ojai for 9 years. I really loved it, or 7 years. Really loved it.
Oh, okay. Nice. Now, Colorado, so that's cooler, because Ojai can get kind of hot, so.
Yeah, we're at 6,000 feet,
area.
So it's cooler. Gorgeous
nice.
Autumn colors now. Gorgeous, gorgeous autumn colors.
Ah, beautiful. Something you say, I really want to, you know, dive in a bit, and can also definitely touch on the I Can Do It event that you're doing. But something that intrigued me, something that you had written that about fear, that it's our original teacher of survival,
mm-hmm.
But now in the future of achieving humanity's highest potential requires that we must stop letting fear close our hearts. Can you just touch on this? Because I feel right now so many people, you know, and we've had listeners call in or people in the chat saying, you know, they're opening up, but they feel more vulnerable, or, you know, they're afraid to speak their mind or afraid to go, you know, on their path, or they're dealing with a lot of fear right now. And as you know, in the whole world, uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
If, as you say, it's been our original teacher, how do we shift from that model, you know?
Well, the earliest imperative was, of course, survival. And fear initially was interpreted as a threat to our survival. So, you know, fear comes from a very, very old part of the brain. And unfortunately, that part of the brain is stimulated not only by actual threat, but by mentally created threats. All you have to do is say, oh, I wonder whether there'll be someone there for me when I'm older, or will there be enough money for my retirement? And there you are in anxiety or fear. Fear has thousands and thousands of names, but it's only one sensation. So you have fear of heights, fear of crowds, fear of abandonment, fear of fire, fear of closed spaces, and on and on and on and on. With all the, I call those the stories, the fear stories. Mm. The actual sensation is something that anybody that's on a path of consciousness, anyone who wants to be able to love deeply, there's no way we can get very close to another human being and not have our earliest survival fears and our earliest, I'll call it wounding in a way. It's a kind of disconnect between the field in which we're gestating and the early time of life and our sense of self. So there's in everybody, at some level, if they're honest, there's a place people go to where they say, something's not right with me. And if you don't trust that feeling as a normal feeling of development, then it becomes a search for what's not right with me. Then it becomes fear that's actually true, that there's something not right with me. And in my work, for 36 years now, I started from a different paradigm. I was not interested in what caused fear. I was interested in present moment awareness. What will I do with the sensation of fear right now? And the choice. Is it going to close my heart? Am I going to hide? Am I going to disguise what I really want to say? Am I going to stop listening? Am I going to close down? Or when that sensation is present, am I going to be honest, vulnerable, open? And, of course, the power to do that comes from awareness itself. But the people who are hearing us discuss this now, if anyone there in the audience asks themselves, what part of me is hearing this conversation? In that moment, something stops inside of you, and you become receptive. You go looking, but you can't find it. So what the typical answer is, the part of you that's listening is me. So I say to you, okay, if me is listening, what part of you is aware of me? And then again, we have this pause, this stopping, this moment, this very pregnant moment, virgin moment.
You also have a calming, I hear, as you, I feel, as you're saying that, you have a calming. It kind of calms you, too.
Well, exactly, because awareness means we're in relationship to something, not devoured by it. Awareness means I am experiencing what I call fear now. Maybe I'm experiencing fear of exposure. I'll be seen in a way I don't want to be seen, or fear of exposure like a mountaineer. When you get high up on a cliff, that's the technical term, or the kind of common term rock climbers and mountaineers use for the sensation of this great big open space beneath you. And anyone who wants to love is going to have to feel those feelings. How can you raise a child and be so attached to that child and not fear at times for the welfare, the well-being, the future of the child you love? But when you try to get close to another person, really intimate, then all the original fears come up, and they come up so we can make ourselves larger than them, so we can grow bigger than the fear. So fear becomes not only a teacher of survival in early psychological and physical development for, let's say, millions of years, but it becomes now the signal I have a choice to make. The choice is, do I really want to be present? Do I really want to create a space for what I'm feeling? do I really want to be honest and see what comes?
Mm.
And what usually happens is the people who you know that are afraid of that level of openness start to fall away from your life, and new people, much more capable of deeper consciousness and greater love, start materializing in your life.
Now, Richard, one thing I want to ask you is, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying it is, and especially from a physical or physiological standpoint, you know, things are being triggered, maybe even also, you mentioned emotionally, as we're getting closer, maybe to someone or you know, even going in unknown territory, let's say in our life or a career or, you know, even in a, you know, a hobby or something. So that fear that comes up could be natural or is natural.
I think whenever there's uncertainty, whenever there's uncertainty, we have fear because we're not used to uncertainty. So we want to kind of, we want to tell ourselves everything will be all right. But the moment you say that implicitly in that statement is the fear things won't be all right. So the mind goes into the future, and the future creates either anxiety or hope. And so we create a lot of our fears with our thinking. We create a lot of our fears with our fantasies. There's also the genuine experience of fear as an original feeling. And sometimes it means pay attention. Something's not right.
Yeah.
Go get a checkup with the doctor. Check into what's going on with that investor. See what your sister's really telling you, because maybe she's really not opening up completely to how bad she feels, or and so forth. Fear is a good teacher in the sense of giving us present moment information. The problem is we spend our lives saying, if I'm afraid something's wrong, and we're trying to protect ourselves, so let's drill for more oil, let's frack and pull out more natural gas, let's go drilling in the, you know, now as global warming exposes the Arctic Ocean, we can drill there. And so everything we do to survive that starts from fear instead of love always leads to a greater threat and a greater fear. And that's just the way it is. You can't start from fear and get to love. You have to start from love to get to love. And if you don't love fear, and nobody does at the level of a sensation, except the people who choose, except for those of us that choose to really live a conscious life, then we know fear has to be accepted. Fear has to be open to. Fear has to be embraced. And most of life's greatest opportunities mean you have to go fearwards. You have to take risks.
I love that you're saying this. I'm, you know, teaching to the choir. I so agree with you. And I feel that when people want to pretend there is no fear, or there never will be fear, you know, or what's wrong with you, it's so, you know, not only disingenuous, because I know those people are, everybody has some fear, you know, even when you're writing that book, you know, that bestseller book, still you, at some point. But leads people off. I love what you're saying about the question, though. I think that's so powerful about the choice. You know, if you can even talk even more about that. I feel that's so powerful because people are going to feel fear at different times in their life. One, obviously, it's not creating a stuck state and staying there. But that you're saying to ask these questions and to connect in a different way, I think is just so empowering. It's so, it opens more possibilities.
You know, we're really at an interesting time in the evolution of consciousness. I think if you, certainly as a woman, and I'm sure you've listened to many, many women, and in my work, I've listened to just countless thousands, tens and tens of thousands of women over the last 36 years. I think in men and in women all across this planet, there is a resurgence or a renewal. It's not something we've had before. It's a new level of what I would call the goddess or divine feminine. It's the difference between a psychology that's oriented toward I and a psychology that's oriented toward we. There's no such thing as I in nature. Nothing in nature. Mm. No one who studies medicine thinks of a human body as individual. You have trillions and trillions of bacteria in your body right now, and if you didn't have them, you'd be dead. You have the wrong ones, you get sick. You have the right ones, you live. But you don't have them, you can't live. We're literally colonies. We're gigantic communities, every single body, and we're in constant relationship to the world around us. In nature, it is only we. But the psychology of me, the psychology of me, mine, what I want, my goals, my safety, my security, my family, my country, my political party, all of that is very much part of a very old patriarchal, masculine, fear-based, control, survival-based psychology. And in it, we're terrified. We're literally terrified of the deep feminine. And so men are still actually, and I meet lots of men, women are afraid to claim their power, and men are afraid of a powerful woman. And that's why, this is really what I'm going to talk about at I Can Do It. You want real love? You got to have an empowered woman. You got to have a goddess flowing in that woman. Mm-hmm. She can't be a daughter of patriarchy. She can't be a woman who just wants to look good to get a man, to please him, so that she'll belong to someone. She's got to belong to her own depths. And when a man meets a woman like that, there is just an energy that is so compelling, so powerful. But it is scary. I hear this, I know this in my own life, as I've grown into deeper relationship with the women in my life, or the specific woman in my life now. And I know this in the men around me, because I work with many, many men. In retreat, I hear everything about people's lives. Everything, because I'm with them 9 days, 10 days at a time, a week at a time. I know some for years at a time. I do 3-year training programs or mentoring programs. And this fear of love, for all of our celebration of love, when it really comes down to it, we want to have children, we want to own her, we want to control her. The men are deeply, deeply afraid. Patriarchy rests on a fear of the feminine. And women are afraid to claim their power
for fear they'll be, that's so
that
true.
Men won't choose them.
We've got a question in the chat, Richard, from Marley. Why are men are afraid of what? And you said the deep feminine or powerful women, which I would agree. It's like they like you from a distance, but then... I don't know what this is generating from.
Well, one level of it is a re-experiencing of the fear of losing a sense of self in the mother. The irony of that is so many men turn their lover, who they're passionate for, in a little bit of time, 6 months, a year, 4 years, they turn her into mother, and then the passion, the eros is gone in the relationship, and sometimes the couple stays together, but neither is really happy. That film, Hope Springs with Tommy Lee Jones,
that was Sandra,
Meryl Streep, you know, there's a long marriage, there's no passion in it, there's just routine, and she's finally had enough, and she wants more. And as she starts to get really alive, she scares him. It's really it's not the deepest of movies, but aspects of it are really well done. So for the caller, what men are afraid of, they don't really realize. Look at the Muslim countries. Look at the separation.
Going after women. Yeah.
Well, the rules in Buddhism were most progressive at the time, even more progressive than the Greeks or the Hebrews. But they still had tremendous restrictions on women. So there is still tremendous restrictions on women, and we're changing rapidly. So now not only can women claim power in the masculine domain with intellect and the ability to run businesses, when they start to claim the power of deeply embodying themselves, not just becoming women for a man's sexual pleasure, but women who are so connected to their own bodies, so connected to their own aliveness, that kind of woman can't be owned by a man. And the patriarchal man thinks that if he presents her with a ring and he says, I love you, he's going to have safety, not with a really deepening woman. And the transformational process that has been so prevalent in the last part of the last century, well, let's put it in perspective, 1876, first country in the world where women vote, New Zealand. 1976, the last country or part of a country where women vote, one of the cantons of Switzerland. 1976, women finally get to vote in Europe, in the country of Switzerland.
Yeah.
we are looking at an evolution now of equality in which literally men and women don't know who they are outside of the patriarchal model. And so the fear is literally the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of deep intimacy itself. We want sex. Sure we do. We want pleasure. Sure we do. But the exposure, the true vulnerability of meeting in that profound energy, it's almost limitless. And when it's alive in you, you can be 80 years old and make love for hours without Viagra. The man doesn't need Viagra. He just needs a woman who's totally connected to herself. But that kind of woman you don't own, even if you're married.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay, how? Now, I know you're going to be speaking. We've had one person just wrote in the chat, he's answering so many of the questions I've just been thinking about. So, those of you that are listening via phone or the computer, if you do have questions in regards to what we're talking about or you want to talk to Dr. Richard Moss, you can call in at 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Now, Richard, you are going to be in Pasadena at the Hay House I Can Do It event, and you're going to be talking about this, the passion to love. What are some of the answers?
Yeah.
I mean, to really love. Okay.
Yeah.
I love this. I'm hoping this gets out more because I so agree with what you're saying. I think for many women, it's been, you know, and of course, not all, you know, it's not all men, but generally, you know, there's on a societal level, but many women have been waiting for this or been told, you know, I need to hold back or I'm too strong or, you know, I intimidate. And some of these women, it's not, you know, that they're being abrasive. It's just they're living so full, you know, in their life.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that a woman who's strong is not going to reject a man who shows his feelings. A man who feels overwhelmed and just sits down one day and cries and says, God, I don't know if I can keep up with everything in my life. That's not going to scare a powerful woman. That's a man who knows what he feels.
Yeah.
You know, a man that's angry and says, well, those bastards, they're trying to screw me. And a man that defends himself with intellect, who defends himself with anger, that kind of a man is not accessible. So a powerful woman realizes she's either going to be in a battle with that kind of a man. But the problem is, when I say a powerful woman, I don't mean because she's the CEO of a corporation. I mean that she has landed in her body, and she knows what her body wants right now. It wants sleep? Okay, I'm going to sleep. It wants food? Yeah, okay. It wants exercise? Okay. She's listening to the whole universe in her body. And that kind of a person, that kind of a man or a woman, but particularly in the woman, that is no longer trying to be a picture for a man's sake, but really has claimed her energy, claimed her limitless divine feminine energy. She's an enormous energy. A man has to relearn how to be sexual with a woman like that. Because, I mean, he has to learn how to own his feelings and not defend or hide his feelings. Men have been taught to hide their feelings. They have, you know, very few men are really taught. Men are in love with the anima. They're in love with the woman inside of them. They project this picture on a woman outside, and they don't ever see the real woman outside. And a woman who wants to be seen as who she really is going to first have to find herself. And when she does, she's just not going to be satisfied with a man who doesn't want to listen and be a disciple of what a woman knows. And that doesn't make a man inferior or stupid or foolish or a pushover or controlled by a woman or a mommy's boy or anything like that. It makes him wise, because we've got thousands of years of repression of the feminine, and we're poisoning the planet. We're so identified with what Jung called logos, naming things, manipulating things, controlling things. We don't know how to stop long enough to find out where we really are in ourselves so that we can be literally filled by the universal energy this divine energy that's present all the time. And when a woman gets in touch with that, she is just a force to be reckoned with. Not necessarily political force or a, but it's her field, her
empowered force. It's when I hear you speaking, I'm thinking of that life force animating energy, just filled with that life force. I think we may have a caller. Let's see. I see Skype caller. Did you have a question or comment for Dr. Moss, Dr. Richard Moss, in regards to what we're talking about?
Namaste, Michelle and Dr. Moss.
Namaste. Oh, Queen Goddess, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. And what a delightful experience to have Dr. Moss speaking of this truth of the energy and the glory of the feminine. And I call us Wumiomis. And I am very grateful for his presence in this experience. I have been blessed to come in contact with the male energy, some who are, I would say, close to embracing the reality, the truth of what is happening. But, and it's the but I would like you to address, if you would. There is, and those who speak of goddess is all, and we come from the womb, and that is the portal of life, but yet I still hear and see that patriarchal, that need for control, that unwillingness to truly surrender. And if you could address that coming from being in the male body.
Well, I have to say I'm a student. Surrender at this level is very, maybe fear is the right word. Certainly there is an intense vulnerability. And it will trigger the embedded patriarchal defensive process. And it also triggers the little boy in a man. The little boy who wants to be in control, who wants to feel safe, who wants to know mommy's there, and who likes to manipulate mommy. And he'll manipulate her with a temper tantrum, or he'll manipulate her by withdrawing, or he'll manipulate her by apparent disinterest, or he'll manipulate her by showering her with everything he thinks she needs. That's still not the lover. And the lover is really, as you said, you've met some men that are getting close to this energy. Well, then they're really going to be listening to you. And they're really going to be reading the field, and they're not going to be able to say, this is what I want now. They're going to be able to say, this is what I want. How are you right now? Or they're going to have enough faith in the relationship to create a space to see what the woman wants to ask for. And I don't have a formula for this. I mean, for me, it's a living it every day, trying to hear the message that my woman is, when my woman is telling me, I love you, it's not, my little boy doesn't know how to recognize it, my lover does. And it's really a deep learning. And the reason that I feel this is so important is because I think, coming from a medical background, that when men and women start to catalyze this energy together, or two people, because ultimately there'll be a lot of people listening to us that are not in a relationship, but who can start to listen to other people from a new depth and create a new depth of connection, in which the energy field becomes so much more alive. And this field, I'll call it a relational field, is enormously healing. I mean, tremendously healing. We have no idea how healthy we can be when love really flows in us. And just simply, the patriarchal process doesn't allow love to happen. Lust can happen, possessiveness can happen, attachment can happen, jealousy can happen, fear of abandonment can happen, but really, setting another person loose truly to be who they are, not knowing if they'll come back to you, and yet showing up second by second for the relationship, including those times when the other person really just has to follow their own flow and isn't in that moment there for you. This is all new territory, and unfortunately, if it doesn't awaken, we're going to treat the earth like a continuous source of resource for our self-interest and our self-involvement and me, whether it's corporate me or personal me or the personal me fed by the giant corporate me's, and the we is going to not awaken kind of the ecological consciousness and deep social consciousness and the ability for a man and a woman to meet, very aware that we're moving out of patriarchy and there is a return of this deep, let's call it, we don't have good words for it, divine feminine or goddess energy. And for me, it's not the story about, oh, every man and every woman is born through the womb. And oh, it's not idealizing the anatomy or the gender difference. It's actually how we tune into the divine. We do it differently. And we haven't let women tune into it, I believe, in the way that they're capable of, not within the patriarchal consciousness. It's just rooted in fear of the feminine. And I guess the caveman kind of brute strength of the male kind of won the game, even though some of the great souls who opened the door to this kind of deeper feminine energy were men, as well as women. So I'm not sure I'm answering your question. It's a learning process for me. And
yeah,
as I learn, I share it.
You shed a lot of light, and just the mere fact of your humility of being a student is very, very much respected by me. And I want to pose another question in terms of love and the lover and Tantra on a high level. What is your feeling of that in relationship to moving forward with this energy that's coming forward in terms of partnership and or just self-awakening?
There was I think it was George Bernard Shaw that said, the right tool in the wrong hands leads to wrong results. The Tantra now, as it depends really on the teacher. Tantra is an ancient teaching. It literally means to weave. So in the tantric teaching, one way that it was described was to rise by that which other men fall. And so Tantra opened itself up. For some reason, masculine, patriarchal-based spirituality was often disowning of the body. It's really interesting that recently we find a text in which Jesus refers to his wife. And we don't know whether he's talking about a spiritual wife or a deep marriage. We don't know. It's not enough of the text. But the point is, so much of, let's say, religion as pursued and as an ascending kind of process has often been very repressive of pleasure and very repressive of sex. And Tantra means that I'm going to explore this natural polarity between man and woman, but if it gets into the hands of the ego that simply wants to be powerful and access more energy for power's sake, or to develop better techniques for sexual pleasure, or to please a woman, or to please a man, we're handing it over to, again, a fear-based part of our ego. Well, the ego is essentially fear-based. So we're handing it over to the wrong part of ourselves. But Tantra as a deep spiritual practice, I have enormous respect for. So it really depends on the person. But the Tantra you're referring to, I wouldn't use the term because I know it can get so confused. But recognizing that intimacy and lovemaking has to be rediscovered constantly, it's like entering into something and saying to yourself, I've never been here before, where is it going to take me? And yet we're so compelled by the body itself and we're so compelled by habit. It's a very fascinating, wonderful, challenging door to open. And women have a more innate trust of letting it go anywhere it wants to go, of it not having to be conventionally orgasmic, let's say. That it really has to do with a communion, and you don't know necessarily where it will lead you, or at least you let yourself be open to the possibility that it will lead you into unknown territory. I sometimes meet with my woman in a place that doesn't necessarily become genital, and I'm trembling for a day or a day and a half before my body puts itself back together again. Just those energies are so profound, but we're not using any technique at all except being present, being aware of breath, letting go, surrendering, and meeting when the relationship wants us to. Not when Richard wants us to or she wants us to. It's when the relationship wants us to. And that's another aspect.
It really is a lot about that letting go. Queen, thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
I know. I just feel so peaceful and calm and all this wonderful insight and information coming in. I mean, it's a nice little a blessing here. So appreciate you calling in as well.
Yes, thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I appreciated what I felt through your voice.
Thank you. Namaste.
Blessings. Namaste. We have another question, Richard, with two more actually in the chat. But one is, how do empowered women find a man who's not afraid of their power? You probably hear that a lot. You probably hear that, in all fairness. Where are they?
Yeah. Oh, sure I do. Sure I do. You know, and I'm approaching 66 years old. I started teaching when I was 29. I am now working with the children of people who came to me when they were just a little older than I was. In the beginning, I was one of the youngest people in my work. So what is happening right now is a transition time in which there are a lot of women who are moving toward this deep call within them, and as a result, disengaging from marriages in which it's not alive. I would say two things. First, don't give up on a marriage until you've truly learned the art of this, what I call consecrated or sacred conversation. And if the man cannot enter into sacred conversation, or for that matter, if a woman won't enter into sacred conversation with a man, then by sacred conversation, I mean you will not, under any circumstance, interrupt the person when it's their turn to speak. And you will listen, not just with your head up your past, as I like to say, listening for agreement, listening for whether you agree or disagree, but listening for the otherness, for the uniqueness of the other. When there are those kinds of tools in place, and we're only at the beginning of pioneering this kind of communication. I'm working on it. People like Carvel Hendricks with his Imago approach to relationships are working on it. Jack and Jackie Zimmerman in their books on counsel, they're working on it. So in answer to the question, though, you keep going anyway. You keep going anyway because no one's transformation is an end in itself. Every man or woman that's on this journey toward deeper love is going to change the field for everyone. And not everyone is going to find a man who's ready. But if you have a man, ask him. And if you have a man who loves you, say, if we're going to go forward in our marriage, you must come down this walk with me. And I respect you. You don't have to follow my lead, but come, at least try. And then learn the tools of consecrated conversation, of counsel, of bringing the most vulnerable and difficult parts of the relationship present in the safest possible way. You create the rules so it's the safest possible. You won't interrupt. When it comes your turn to talk, you mirror back some of what you've heard that your partner said in her words or his words. You don't immediately attack. You follow the flow of what you feel and express that through your words, and you create a field through this form of conversation itself. Literally, that at the time you may feel like, oh my God, we've opened the door to some of the most vulnerable stuff or some of the most difficult stuff. Now we're really in trouble. But if you open the door with real respect, reverence, listening, proper listening, your whole body listening, never interrupting, going slowly, pausing, waiting. The next thing you know is you've talked about extremely difficult things like maybe attraction to other people, maybe feelings that the relationship doesn't work, maybe deep dissatisfaction with the sex life. Many things can be brought in safely or relatively safely into conversation using these kinds of approaches. I teach people to do this in my retreats. I work in intensives with couples for this kind of thing to teach them this. And once you know how to have this kind of conversation, you discover that the next day you want to touch each other. The next day your eyes meet and there's that special feeling. You realize that the relationship or the field of the relationship is more than either person. And it's saying to you, yep, the work you did yesterday in that very difficult conversation, that's exactly what the relationship needs. Mm-hmm. So the question I teach people to ask is, what does the relationship want? Not just what does the man want or the woman want. And in terms of finding a man like this, well, if you're separate, then I would say put it out through the different websites, but really be clear about who you are. And then there are spiritual communities that, or let's call it, oh, I love what happens in the agape movement. And it's just everywhere. Not necessarily.
I think as you get clear, you're saying know who you are. And I think putting yourself out there,
you'll attract it to you. Mm-hmm. It's really important not to say this, to say to yourself, I won't be complete without a man or I won't be complete without a woman. That's a poisonous thought. And it isn't true. And so in a certain place, you have to let go and sort of let God. And maybe relationship comes and maybe relationship doesn't come. But the journey deeper and this form of conversation and this form of listening, whether it's in a personal relationship or whether it's between mothers and daughters of mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, fathers and sons, and or whether it's even in the business world, it has enormous capacity to make things work. You're literally inviting this kind of we energy into an environment that just simply isn't going to function well if it stays in me.
Yeah, we got to think of the other as well. Now, Dr. Moss, the Hay House I Can Do It event in Pasadena, when is it exactly?
Well, I'm there on Saturday the 27th of October between 2:30 and 4:30. And anyone who's listening, I can't tell you more than that. It's at the Pasadena Convention Center. It starts on Friday, the 26th, but I can't get there till Friday night. And then I'll be there all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and my presentation is between 2:30 and 4:30. And
okay.
Yeah.
So for those listening, it's the Hay House I Can Do It event at the Pasadena Convention Center. Starts Friday, but your session is Saturday, October 27th.
2:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon, yeah.
2:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon, and you will be speaking on the passion to love.
Yes, and the methodology for getting past some of the destructive processes, the way we're afraid of our feelings and the kinds of damaging emotions we create with our thinking, that's in my new book that Hay House published called Inside Out Healing. Chapter by chapter, it really, after 35 years of teaching, it's the clearest I've been able to give people specific tools that they can use, literally use, for relationship issues, for health issues, for aging issues, for work issues, for finance. It doesn't matter. If you can think about it, this book will help you.
Wonderful. And, of course, for more information, people can also go to richardmoss.com for more information about your retreats, the work that you do, your other books, as well as the latest book, Inside Out Healing, and then I would imagine also on the passion to love as well. Thank you so much, Richard Moss, for being on Awakenings Radio. So appreciate you taking the time out to come share with us.
It was a gift for me, and thank you for calling it Awakenings, because this is what we just talked about, something that's truly awakening now.
Yeah, so many awakenings. Take good care, and thank you again so much. This has really been a healing, just having you share your energy and all that you shared with us as well from your own experience. Thanks again.
You're very welcome.
And that was Dr. Richard Moss, that was our guest today for an awakening conversation. You can find out more information at richardmoss.com. And, of course, his latest book is Inside Out Healing. Thank you, amazing listeners. Everybody, I feel so peaceful. Yes, I do too as well. Siren Dreams in the chat. Wow, that was awesome, Michelle. Yeah, really, really. And I loved what he was saying about fear. He's not a bliss bunny hiding from fear. It's a natural emotion. But the questions, definitely this program is worth a re-listen to in the archives to hear what he was speaking about in the beginning about when you're feeling the fear, what is the choice? What are you asking yourself and where are you coming from? And, of course, you can always get his book, Inside Out Healing, for more detailed information on how to do that and heal yourself from the inside out. Thank you all, Awakening listeners, for being present. Continue to call in. Also email your questions or comments to awakenings@selfandlight.com. You can also go to the Awakenings radio page on Facebook. Let us know what you thought of the program today, what it brought up for you, any suggestions that you have as well. And also, if you want to email me where and how you listen to Awakenings, that's also at awakenings@selfandlight.com. Wonderful. My Wednesdays with you, I do cherish. And I hope you have a wonderful week and weekend. And I will see you back next Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.